from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
2 o'clock headlines are brought to you by Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. It is always, Kevin, 420.
At Buddies!
That's what I hear, that's what I'm told. Jacksonville apparently is going to sign Tim Tebow as a tight end, according to a few sources.
I think we should spend the next 7 hours on this radio station talking about it.
You can turn on to ESPN and watch it instead. They'll tell you about that for a while and scream at you. Mariners are off today. They open a series tomorrow against the Dodgers in Los Angeles. That's after two straight losses to the Rangers of Texas in Arlington, where, boy, judging from Arlington, apparently COVID is no longer a problem in Texas. Good for them.
I mean, their numbers aren't bad.
No, and I mean, it looked normal. It was weird.
Yeah.
It just was weird to look at something that looked normal. Like, it looked normal in Texas. My favorite part of the weekend, though, was the guy on Saturday night behind home plate. 4 bottles of wine and a whole bunch of beer cans all stacked up, and he was the only guy I could see in the suite there. That dude had a good time. That guy had a really good time.
Buying a suite for yourself and pounding it like that is next level.
Flat out getting after is what that guy was doing. Sounders were 2-1 winners yesterday over Portland. As they say down in the Showwear Center, Portland sucks. And yesterday they did.
Even when they're not playing Portland, that's the greatest part. I've been to T-Birds games where they're against like Everett or whatever,
yeah,
and it's still Portland sucks.
I found myself chanting Portland sucks during that Sounders match yesterday. Good for the Sounders. Derby champion Medina Spirit may be DQ'd. Why? Because the horse was juiced. Bob Baffert, the trainer, says, why me? DK Metcalf finished second to last, I guess, overall. But at 10.3700 meters, still pretty damn good, man.
He is fast.
He is really, really fast. That's good for headlines right now. I mean, that was insane. I said last week, my concern with him and with that was really simple. I just didn't like the idea. I love the idea for the... I just have this vision in my head of that just elite supreme athlete doing something his body's not used to doing, you know, in terms of the 100-yard sprint on a track in track shoes.
100 meters, so it's 109 feet.
Sorry, 100 meters.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, hopefully nothing happens. And it didn't. And I think Slick said this, and I need to go back and watch the video. It did appear like in the first 30, 40, 50 yards, he was right there. Like, if not leading, us right there.
Yeah.
Which, if I'm a Seahawk fan, how exciting is that? Because how often are you running 100 yards in the NFL?
Not very often,
okay?
Ian.
And if you are running 100 yards and you run it in 10.37.
The ball's not going to be there when you get there.
No. Like, say you take a screen pass at the goal line, which you're not going to do.
No.
We saw Russ throw a screen pass in his own at the end of the year last year. That didn't work either.
No.
But say you did that, and he just shot out of a cannon. Well, no one's catching him in the National Football League.
He's going to stop running at about the 40 because no one's going to be close.
Exactly. So that was kind of cool to watch that. You're like, damn. Like, we know he's fast. Buddha knows he's fast.
Yeah,
everyone
he
knows he's fast. But, I mean, and he just looks so different than those dudes. That's what was crazy.
You got to find, because the video that's on Twitter that everyone's seeing,
uh-huh,
is kind of the one where you need to see everybody and you're trying to see their relation to where they are.
Right.
You got to find the view where you're looking at them and they're running toward you, toward the camera.
Right.
Because that's where you're like, holy crap,
yeah,
they're running against Godzilla.
Yes. Oh, my.
Oh. Yeah, it was crazy to see that. He is just so big and so fast. It's and thank goodness he didn't get hurt.
Yes, exactly. We'll check the text at the bottom of the hour. 49451 Coors Seltzer text line, the world's most refreshing seltzer. Big thanks to Nathan and Chris for coming on our Molly Wap Mondays a few minutes ago. And I fire away on your thoughts and questions and comments after that, because I thought we had good conversations there. And Kevin brings up a very valid point that I know a lot of us here in Seattle want to just kind of not, I don't want to say not acknowledge.
Well, but it sucks.
We all understand it.
It's a sucky point to have to accept.
Yes. But, you know, and my thoughts still with Kelnick or anybody is, every athlete is different. We just talked about a guy that's different in DK Metcalf. So to put people in a box and say they have to have this number of at-bats, I know the other part is the financial and the, you know, keeping them under club control and all that. I get all of that. you have to balance that with, are you going to piss this guy off to the point where in 6 years he's going to be like, yeah, I'm out? I don't know that. I'm asking that in just rhetorical question. I don't know. But there any thought of a requirement of a certain number of at-bats at AAA for this guy or for anybody, to me, is just stupid because every athlete is different. Some guys may need more time. Hell, Edgar stayed in the minors forever. He was like 45 when he finally got called up.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so you just don't know. You know, putting guys in a box is hard. I thought the Gilbert conversation that Chris brought up was interesting. You know, I brought up Cal Raleigh. He brought up Gilbert. You know, because Kelnick is the main focus. Everyone's like, when's Kelnick getting here? When's Kelnick getting here? But if you're going to go with this six-man rotation, with Marco on the DL, without six guys, much less without four guys.
Even when Marco's healthy, you don't have five guys. That's, you don't have five guys. You definitely don't have six.
Right. Is Gilbert ready right now? I don't know. That's a different deal because innings pitched and getting, you know, building yourself up and all those things, and without having a real minor league season last year, that's different. But he is a college pitcher, Kev. Again, not coming out of high school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything's different. I hate the putting things in a box, but chime in, 49451. I know Nathan brings up the point that it is it basically calls them cheap. And it's not just that. It's not just Kelnick in the future. You know, he's been banging the drum since spring training with us. That I didn't realize it was 25th payroll, right?
They didn't bring anybody in that's going to help this team this year as free agents.
And you know what's hard about that is then you're not doing guys that do need some time in the minors or do need some time elsewhere to reset. You're not doing them any favors either. You know, and obviously, you know, Evan White's the guy at the top of the list. I know that, you know, I'll bang on Torrens, and it was, like Chris said, it was probably the worst, you know, mental error you've seen in sports in 10 years. But let's go to Murphy's a guy that they were counting on.
Yeah.
You know, but they were counting on 2019 Tom Murphy. They don't know what 2020 Tom Murphy was because he opted out last year. Well, he was hurt and then just never came back. So, but that position is a black hole as well, you know, and they've got a bunch of guys that are just, you know, 4A guys, Marmoleo, those type of guys are 4A guys. It's frustrating because somehow, some way, they're still hanging around and making themselves relevant. And maybe that's just 2021 baseball. This is a division that feels as if, you know, even though Oakland went on that massive tear, that, you know, you can probably stay relevant if you're just a little bit above 500 all year. Like, you can stay relevant. All I ask for, and I don't ask for a lot in life, Kev. I don't ask for a lot in life. I ask for relevancy. I ask for games that matter. I still find myself massively entertained by watching my favorite baseball team, even when I'm mad as hell at them like I was Saturday night. I was mad at them. I was mad as hell. Like, there's no way you lose that game. But I was mad about it because they're still relevant. And I want that to be the case. I want them to be relevant. I want them, you know, to play meaningful games. You know, not to always play the comparison game, so I'm not going to use the Seahawks. But man, was it fun yesterday watching the Sounders. You know, I watched that match, and, you know, because luckily by the time that kind of started, like probably 10 minutes into the first half, it was 7-2. Like, okay, we're done. With that offense, we're done. So watching that was just awesome. Like, the rivalry and the intensity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always, like, if you're not a soccer fan, doesn't matter. Watch Seattle and Portland. Those are the only games you have to watch all year if you're not a huge soccer fan. Just watch those games. I mean, Schmetzer at halftime was pissed. Is he almost softy this week? He's already almost softy.
I think, yeah, he's on Tuesday nights.
I mean, he was pissed after the game.
Yeah.
Like, he was sideways after the game. I love that. I mean, he's got red ass like no other coach in this town. Like, he's got – and by the way, he's got more rings than anybody else in this town. But he's got total red ass. That's awesome. They're relevant. They're fun. They've always been relevant. They play relevant games start to finish every single year. They're the Las Vegas Blue Knights or Golden Knights, whatever the hell they are, Golden Knights of MLS. So it's fun. The baseball team, we're just asking, just please do something. And I don't know, the Curdle laugh kind of, I think, told it all. I think the Curdle laugh on the call on Kelnick's second home run, I think what that was, it was a reflection of what every Mariner fan was thinking. Like, oh man, really? Like, you've got to be kidding. But it's not just Jared Kelnick. You know, it's an organization-wide issue right now that they're having. And this is a team because of what you said, and it's so true, Kev. They could go from being relevant and hanging around 500. They could very easily drop into one of those losing 11 of 12, 12 yeah. of 13 slides, and all of a sudden your season in terms of being relevant is effectively over. That's how close. They're like right on that cliff. So let's cross our fingers they don't get to that point. And I don't want to be negative about them this early, but there is some frustration. And I think it's frustration that builds with fans over the course of decades long of ineptitude, no matter who's sitting in the GM chair, no matter who owns the baseball team, and no matter who manages the baseball team. I mean, you can't just erase all of that history of negativity and overnight. But you can still have hope. And I think the one thing Nathan said that really got to me, and it's true, even if the worst case scenario happens and they just implode, right? And that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
There is that glimmer of hope, but again, maybe it's another year away of that outfield he portrayed, a guy behind the home plate who's competent. Maybe they can find a way to get Evan White to be at least a competent major league hitter. I mean, you watch him. I mean,
he can't hit.
Yeah.
And I
can he ever hit is the question.
Who knows? I mean, it's just weird. They've been in this spot. Was it Sam Darnold Sam Darnold. I'm seeing ghosts out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, that was talking about like coverages.
Right.
But, you know, the way that we've all twisted that is he's seeing things that aren't there or whatever. I think the Mariners are seeing ghosts a little bit with some of their young guys too. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, for that feel of like, well, if we bring him up now, whoever we're talking about,
right,
then it's going to be Dustin Ackley. It's going to be Mike Zunino. It's going to be these guys that there's been a lot of excitement about them, but they just haven't been able to do it up here. And I don't know, I guess.
And Zunino was rushed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Ackley spent, I should go back and give you the actual numbers, but spent very little time at the different levels of the minors. Right. Zunino even less.
Yeah.
Well, they're still seeing those a little bit.
Wasn't a good player.
I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
But boy, he was a consensus number two overall pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Everyone agreed on that.
I never blame them for that pick. You know, like it's kind of like the Greg Oden pick in Portland.
They're,
like sometimes you can't blame people for a pick. Like it's like because everyone else would have made the same pick. Everyone would have taken Ryan Leaf number two.
Yeah.
They just would have.
That's so. Yeah. Same thing with Aaron Curry.
Yes.
No one was like, well, this is a terrible pick.
Yeah.
No one said that.
He's a better coach than player now.
It would seem so. Here's my thought to kind of wrap. I don't know. We'll probably get some texts about it, so this isn't wrapping it up.
Yeah.
But with Kelnick, I guess I'm thinking of his time there in AAA. If he continues to just murder the baseball like he is, then let's call it a heat check. Okay?
Yeah.
In basketball, I've never had one of these, but if you're just if you hit four threes in a row, then you want to see if it's really going to continue. You maybe take like three steps back behind the three-point line.
Yeah.
Well, look, he's been killing the ball everywhere he's been. Let's make sure he does it at the next level, and then when he's still hot as hell, all right, then we make a decision. I'm perfectly okay with the time he's spending at AAA right now. I can't be mad about it, especially when you consider the ghosts.
We'll take a break, come back. I'm going to pay tribute to sports in a general sense. We'll talk about Baffert and also say thanks to a legend who was let go today. We'll do all of that before we get to text next.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Checked our text in just a few minutes. 49451. It's the Coors Seltzer text line. World's most refreshing seltzer.
People do know that's the refreshed sound, right? Because otherwise, it would be kind of weird to hear someone.
Otherwise, they
on
think
the
it's your heavy sigh.
Yeah.
The heavy sigh from Kevin.
You know, I don't think we need to bring that up.
Okay.
I don't know why you decided to bring that up.
Sometimes I
wonder why I'm even hearing you. What am I doing? What's the point? I come in, I work hard, I get crap from you.
I don't know.
The one guy I thought was on my side, but clearly not.
You are. Anyway, that was a heavy sigh right there.
That was for you.
Yeah. All right, we got a lot to get to in this segment. We'll get to Baffert in a second.
Hold on, I got to go pee in the A.
Do we have hay here we could pee in? Is
that, I think so.
That'd be awesome.
It was part of the movie, I think. A lot of hay in that movie, Kimmy.
So they're gone, the movie people.
Yeah, I think so. They were. Man, it was quite a production this weekend. I drove past it.
Did you?
There were like tons of trucks.
All right. Okay. I mentioned the power of sports, and I'm just going to hit this real quick because I want to. Every now and then, social media is a weird place. Like, we all agree with that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
We can tweet something out or Instagram or Facebook something, and it gets, and you think, boy, I bet that's going to get a lot of reaction and be probably spur some good conversation, and people will go, oh, okay, great, you know, right. And then, like, it's ignored or it doesn't click or resonate with people.
Or if you spend a lot of time, like, researching something or you make something,
yes.
Then half the time, crickets.
I found, though, last night, the power of sports from this standpoint. And I'll just tip of the cap. The WHL finished their season last night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most teams did. There's like a couple games this week. But basically, they're on. Seattle and Everett are both done. But Seattle finished their season last night. They were supposed to play 24 games. They played 23. They had a game with Tri-Cities was canceled because of COVID in Tri-Cities. They played it for one reason, and especially I think the focus on the U.S. teams here was massive because of the Kraken coming in and the draft. And they call themselves, and I think rightfully so, the number one developmental league in the world, the WHL is. But it goes from Manitoba through Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, and here in the U.S. And the five U.S. teams only played each other because you can't cross the border. Same thing north of the border. They're based on provinces.
Mm-hmm.
But they played 24 games. And they did it because of the Kraken. They did it because there's a huge focus. It's a regional focus. And they also wanted to give their kids an opportunity to play and get drafted. That's what that league exists for, to get drafted to the NHL, to go to the next level. But I think sometimes in all sports, we forget what the actual sport and culture and bonding and locker room and everything around sports, what it means to the individual. And it doesn't matter what sport it is. In case in point, I tweeted out a picture last night. Kelty Jerry Leon was the lone 20-year-old on the Seattle Thunderbirds this year. And you can play till you're 20. You can have three 20-year-olds on a roster. They only had one. They just said they took this season as we're going to showcase our NHL draft eligible guys, which they did. We're going to play our really young guys, which they did. We're not going to worry about winning championships because there's nothing to win. There's no playoffs.
There wasn't anything. Yeah.
So Kelty was the only 20-year-old on the team, kind of a leader and obviously a role model for many. Played 5 years in the league. He wrapped up his season last night. I took two pictures at the end of the night after we were on TV of him. One was him standing at center ice, and it was about 15 minutes, no, longer than that. It was about 25 minutes after the game was over because they did a little quick award ceremony. They took pictures, did a bunch of stuff. He was standing at center ice by himself in an empty arena, just looking around. And then there's another picture with Tyrell Bauer, I believe it was, and Matthew Rempe, both drafted players that are going to play in NHL organizations, hugging him afterwards. And it caught my attention, and I said, I put a tweet out that got this massive response, like a massive response, something I never thought would happen. But to me, what it showed is this. Sports means something to so many people that aren't big stars, and it goes to the high school sports this year, it goes to youth sports, and it goes to college sports this year. Over and over again, we heard, why are we playing the games? And that's a general term, whether it was at the highest level or the lowest level, whether it was the NFL or youth football. Why are we playing the games? That picture I tweeted out last night is why you play the game. You can't get that time back. You can't get those memories back. And what sports can do for those who participate and play and coach, broadcast, watch, what have you, you can't always put into words. And you cannot wrap those up into a nice, neat little box and explain it in a two-sentence answer to somebody who says, why play? You can't explain that sometimes. It just is simply because. And look at that picture at Ian Furness SEA. I'm looking at him last night. That's why. Where Kelty Jerry Leon with the Thunderbirds, he's the high school senior swimming, diving, doing gymnastics, playing tennis, playing high school football, playing high school basketball, volleyball, cross country, track, whatever it might be. That's who he is. That's why you play. He had one more season. He had one more opportunity to spend with his teammates, his brothers, people that he loves, people that he formed a bond with. He had that opportunity, as do so many people. And I saw Chris Egan just send a tweet out. They're building the basketball courts. down at the Puyallup Fairgrounds.
Yep.
Shout out to Dane Looker, the former Husky.
Look at you. Look at Cougs and Cats together.
Well, I just think Dane Looker and a bunch of those guys down in Puyallup, their companies are donating a ton of money and time and energy and materials to get that done. Why? Because of Kelty Jerry Leon. Because of that. Sports means something that we cannot always put into words. They just are different. And you can't get those years back. The NCAA allowed people to redshirt. Most sports, high school, junior hockey, life, we can't redshirt. We can't get it back. So big shout out to him last night, but just everyone playing right now. Why do we play? That's why. All right, two quick things before we get to text. 49451. Bob Baffert. So, Kevin, can you explain to me?
Oh, don't do that to me.
Okay. So,
can I explain to you? No.
Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a post-race drug test. That came out today. Baffert originally had got his seventh Derby win. Now that may be vacated. By the way, he has had horses fail 5 drug tests in the last year alone.
Someone is peeing a lot at his racehorse areas.
And he claims...
What do they call those? Stables?
Stables. Yeah. He claims that a groom, which is basically in charge of taking care of the horse...
That was a very confusing word to see for the first time. I'm like, wait a second, what?
Had urinated in the hay, horse ate the hay, that was tainted because the groom had taken cough medicine because he had a cough. First of all, nobody gets a cough anymore because you either have COVID or you don't.
Well, I mean, he might have taken the cough medicine because he coughed once and then was like, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind having a little
And we'll see that. Which apparently is filled with steroids.
Well, that's if how your cough medicine doesn't have steroids, what are you bothering for?
My question to you is this. Has anybody ever, whether it's a trainer of a horse or a professional athlete, has anyone ever tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs and just said, yeah, I did it. Yeah, you know what? You got me. It's weird. Sometimes science doesn't lie. The test is right. You got me. Has anybody ever done that?
Well, now it's the answer now is,
what does a dog always eat my homework?
I didn't know that what I was taking also had this other thing.
Oh, that is
that's
the best.
What it is now, yeah. Because it's, well, I was taking this thing that was recommended to me by my trainer, but
someone
he wasn't
always,
in Major League Baseball, and I didn't know.
Someone always gets thrown under the bus, right? Well, Cliff always used Cliff had the best line. When Cliff Averill was here, he always said, I don't take anything because I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Like, he said, the only way not to get caught or not to get busted is just don't take it.
Yeah.
Like, don't take anything. Like, he was the point, I think Cliff said he didn't take Advil or anything. Like, he was just like, you know what? I'm just going to deal. That's what he did. And never tested positive. Our buddy Cliff Averill. Right?
I mean, there are so many angles of this that are just so stupid. And, you know.
Well, he's going to try to run the Preakness this weekend.
Well, and Baffert's claiming that this is a result of cancel culture.
Well, I don't want to go down that road.
The horse is being canceled because of Hans cancel culture.
I don't even want to go down that road. My God. And finally, before I get to text, quick shout out, Kenny Mayne, Kent native. He and ESPN have parted ways. Kenny said it was as a result of he was a salary cap casualty today. Sounds like a pay cut was in the offing, right?
Andrew Marchand from New York reported that it was offered a salary that was lower than what he was.
After 24 years, they said take a salary cut, and he gave them the middle finger, so he's out at ESPN. I'll just say this. He's from my dealings with him, and you know, obviously we see Kenny a lot, especially at Seahawk games, just kind of wandering around. Always a nice guy. I always enjoy talking to him. I knew him when he was working for KSDW back in the day. He was Rod Simon's number 2. He was a weekend anchor there. And, I mean, from there to where he became, what he became, was really remarkable rise. I mean, one of the true big superstars in sports media for so many years. So he'll be missed on ESPN for sure. All right.
And he worked really hard to do a lot of good with the platform that he was given to.
Is
cool.
That's a great point.
Runfreely.org, I think, is the website.
It is.
And like helping, yeah. I don't want to get this wrong, but I think he's helping guys who have been injured in military service get the stuff they need to be able to walk freely again.
49451. In 30 years, when the Mariners haven't been to the World Series, they will become the lovable losers. Then win 3 of 4 World Series, and everyone will hate them, a.k.a. the Boston Red Sox.
I mean, that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, I'd take three or four World Series.
Get hated by everyone? That's fun.
But not 30 years from now. I'm not sure if I'll be around in 30 years. Or if I am, I'll be drooling on myself.
I'm not changing your diaper, Ian. I'm not doing it.
Changing my diaper might be the least of my problems in 30 years. Yeah, let's hope it's not 30 years.
That'd be a long time.
Why not bring up the heavy APD side? 10 to 1 show talks about it all the time. I don't like to bring up stuff that those guys do. What they talk about with you...
Well, because they do nothing, right?
It's a show about nothing.
Yeah.
But how can it be a show about nothing if they talk about things?
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works.
Minus for Kevin, 100 meters is not 109 feet.
Boy, bad job by me. 109 yards.
Damn.
You're right. That's a minus for me. That's a bad job by me. I looked it up because I was like, how many yards? It's like 109 and change yards. So if we ever see 109 yards in a straight line by DK Metcalf, that's going to be exciting.
That would be exciting. We almost saw it, although he kind of came, when he caught...
It's close, but not a straight line.
See, our buddy Blake says, not bothered. Really? That's where I just lose it.
Not bothered at all.
Thank you.
Keep him down there. Let him grow. I've seen too many Evan Whites and Mike Zaninos up too soon. There are two sides to the AAA story. Let Jared Kelnick learn and grow. We need him long term. I'm 35. I've seen the good old days, and White should be in AAA.
Yeah, I mean, Evan White... Here's a couple issues they have with guys on that team. They don't have a third baseman of the future, and they don't have another alternative at first base, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are the two issues. Like, I understand the Evan White thing, like, send him down. They don't have an alternative right now, unless you're going to tell me Jose Marmolejos is going to play first base all the time.
And by the way, AAA only started less than a week ago.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been sent down because there was nowhere to send him to, and he was already on the major league roster. You're not going to send him from playing games to down to Arizona to do nothing. So at this point, he should be sent down, and I would imagine he probably will at some point. But let's not be mad about the Evan White thing just yet.
206, the fact that the best team is not even remotely close to being on the field is another middle finger to the fans.
See, this is where I think... And Ian actually is guilty of this sometimes. Is like, look, they're not focused on winning. Well, you need to define winning. And, you know, as someone else pointed out, he'll be called up once he won't accumulate 171 days on the big league roster. Well, yeah, because I'd rather have a guy for 6 years and 4 months than a guy for 5 years than for 6 years total.
Yeah.
And have him here over seven seasons makes a lot more sense. Look, I understand being mad that the best team isn't here. Don't be mad at the Mariners for playing the game the way that they are benefited to do so.
They're benefited in terms of looking ahead. Is it 6 years?
Yeah. Well, if by not having him up right away,
6 years, right?
They can have him for 7 years.
For seven. Otherwise, they'd have him for six.
Yes.
So they gain an extra year.
Yes. A whole season by not having him here for the first 3 weeks.
Well, they gain club control. Doesn't mean they can't keep him if they open up the bank.
Well, right.
The vault, right? I think it shows a lack of... part of it is... I think a perceived cheap organization, which they haven't traditionally been...
Unless you're getting all of your information from one person who just writes about the TV deal all the
right,
time.
Right, no, but I mean, like, they haven't traditionally been a cheap organization.
No!
They're cheap this year.
Because they didn't think they were going to be any good, and they are working on ground up.
But in a sense, they didn't even really give themselves a chance.
No.
I think that is a very valid criticism.
It absolutely is.
Very valid criticism. And so, I mean, they are a team that cannot do any right. They just can't. And until they correct that by winning, they're not going to ever get a benefit of the doubt from a fan base. And frankly, I don't blame fans. I'm one of those. Tired of it. I mean, there's no guarantee in 6-7 years that this guy's going to be great. Let's see him. Let's get it going. So what is the date, by the way? What is the date he can come up? I mean, I know he can come up now.
Wait, it already passed.
Okay, so they can bring him up anytime.
So now if they waited until like the middle of June,
I think the middle of June is the next date, right?
Then you're not having to pay the Super 2 that goes out of the equation. Where if that happens, then you have to start paying him arbitration in his third year, not his fourth year.
Right.
But the real big-time one is not bringing him up so that he in like 2 or 3 weeks within the season. So that's already passed. Yeah. But if you're going to wait like that and then bring him up when there's no minor leagues, then it's so obvious that that's the only reason you're doing it. There could be an issue with the players union and all that stuff. Look, the way that they do it in baseball is dumb. Yeah. And look, I sound like I'm defending the team here, and I guess I am, but they incentivize doing it this way.
Right. Well, in Chicago, did that with Chris Bryant.
They all do. This is the way they all do it.
I think if you just said we're not going to bring him up and it's financially motivated as opposed, don't ever tell us it's because you want to get him out of bounds.
They're not allowed to.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But here's the problem. You're saying you're keeping him down there because of at bounds. That's what they've always said.
But we all, it's
like,
not.
And that's where, like Nathan said, that's where the hypocrisy comes in, because then you've got Evan White up here who bypassed AAA, never went to AAA. And is not a good hitter. And not to say Kelnick and him are the same player. You know, one skill set obviously feels like it's a lot better. I mean, when he comes up, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, whatever, when he comes up, then this argument goes away for now. And then we get to just see. Let's see if this guy can play. I think we'd all agree there's zero chance that in that lineup he's not going to be above average for that lineup.
Ugh, especially with what they've been putting out there. Oh, it's garbage.
It's so bad. It's hot garbage, man.
It's so bad.
Oh, God. All right. 49451, thank you, everybody. We'll come back, check in with David Mahler. Softy?
Good idea.
He's next.
Now back to Ian Furness on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Dave Softy Mahler getting ready for his award-winning show coming up in just a couple minutes. I see Jackson Phelps in there going through last-minute preparations. Jackson getting 4 or 5 sounder guests lined up for you after that big win yesterday.
Yes, how about that? Win? Portland sucks. Portland sucks. Who sucks worse, the Timbers or the Winterhawks?
Both. It's an equal. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Winterhawks.
It's not possible. I mean, that's not the way. That's not the way the game is played.
No, let me answer.
You can only have one. Who
Timbers,
sucks
Timbers,
more?
Timbers okay. All day.
All right. Why is that? Why do they suck more?
Because they've been around long.
He already answered that question.
They've been. I mean, the old Timbers guy in what 77, right?
Because the WHL team.
What do you mean? The old Timbers guy.
Like the old
Timbers play-by-play guy.
No.
What guy are we talking about here?
No.
What kind of guy?
What are you talking about? What?
So you already answered the question of why they suck more.
I know.
Because the Timbers pay them.
Yeah, they pay me.
Or the Winterhawks pay them.
So definitely.
In 3, 2, 1.
When's Schmetzer on with you guys?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow at 5:45.
Is there a coach in this market that's more of a red ass than him?
God.
He was pissed off after the win last night.
Let me think about it.
I feel a lot better than Bob.
Probably not. He did a happy birthday video for Jackson Phelps. Did you see that?
Oh, Jackson was in heaven last week. God. You are a good man.
Jackson watched that video. I swear to you, I came into the studio. He was naked.
I'm disturbed. I'm disturbed.
Jackson, put your pants on.
Put your pants come back on. Stop are you it. Peeing in the Stop hay? It. What are you doing there?
How about that, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that is, it's funny because my wife is a horse person,
yes,
as
she
you
is.
Guys know.
Yes.
And it's totally plausible that a groom would pee in a stall.
Okay.
Happens all the time.
Okay.
You know why they do it there?
Why?
Because the horses pee there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a toilet.
Okay.
It is.
Okay, that makes
sense.
I
mean, a stall is a dinner table, it's a toilet, it's a hotel, it's all those things.
Okay, that part of the story.
Because a horse does everything in that stall.
Yeah.
But sometimes they procreate in the stall. Sometimes they give birth in the stall. They pee, they poo, they eat, they sleep, everything in one box.
That part of the story I didn't find outlandish.
No.
The taking cough syrup that has steroids in it part, I have a hard time
with. Doesn't cough syrup have anabolic steroids in it? I mean, what kind of drug do we know? Because I know that back at the, was at the Arkansas Derby last year, 2 years ago, there was a story that the grooms were actually putting hand lotion on. And inside the hand lotion, there was another banned chemical. And they handled the hay and handled the horses. So that's how that horse, I think it was two of them actually, got this banned drug in their system because Baffert claims that the grooms had hand lotion on.
So Baffert, who has yes. had these horses
and Justify, who won
over.
The Triple Crown yeah. a couple years ago. There yeah. was the big controversy about Justify before so, he won the Belmont.
So what does Gina say about the whole? Is
he's
plausible?
Full of crap. Oh, okay. I mean, nobody. Okay. I mean, there's just too much smoke.
Yeah,
right.
Well, too many positive tests.
Yes, it's there's just one. Too much smoke, and I don't think you'll get anybody in the horse industry to go on the air and criticize the guy.
Well, he's the most. Is there a more powerful man in horse racing?
He's the golden goose.
Yeah.
He is the absolute golden goose of horse racing, and all these tracks. Let's face it. They're all struggling,
yep.
like everybody else is. Mm-hmm. And so to go on the air and rip the guy, you know, when he's bringing a, you know, nobody brings more eyeballs to horse racing than Bob Baffert does. Nobody.
Would you say
nobody brought more eyeballs to the Tour de France than Lance Armstrong did.
Right, right.
And look what happened to him.
Well,
I mean, can you imagine what a bombshell that would be if it turns out that Bob Baffert, who's won two Triple Crowns,
yeah.
how many Kentucky Derbies,
five.
If he was a complete fraud?
Well,
the whole time.
Maybe he just does really bad with unethical horses.
Yeah.
And these horses are going behind closed doors.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're
yeah.
just
yes.
they're yes. sticking themselves yes. with needles.
Well,
maybe,
the only thing more
maybe he just needs better hand lotion.
Well, probably the only thing more powerful than Bob Baffert is Churchill Downs.
Right. Right.
Right. I mean, it's
absolutely
that's the one
you can buy stock in Churchill Downs.
You know,
you
like,
can.
Yeah. I mean, Churchill yeah. Downs is your band. That's because yeah. there'll still be 20 horses there next year.
Right. Well, he needs better hand lotion, and he needs to put a porta potty outside of a stall. the grooms don't have to pee in the stall.
All
Baffert
stalls.
I mean, she might kill me for saying this, but Gina's peed in stalls before.
What? Excuse me?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I've peed in stalls before.
Should I be dumping this?
No, why?
No,
that's a big deal.
No,
we all have to pee.
As he said.
I'm not saying like when she's in her 40s, like when she was a kid, for crying out loud.
Gina may kill
Where
me for
Gina?
This. Yeah. When you preface something by saying she may kill me for
she's
this.
She's going to kill me for it.
She is going yes. to kill you for this.
I will get a phone call. Likely, what's today? Is today Monday?
Yeah.
She's not riding today.
Yeah.
So likely what will happen, because she never listens to anything.
So if I text her right now
no,
and say, hey,
one
by
of her,
the way.
One of her boys from work will say, did you hear what your husband said? And she'll call me and
this.
Say, David, what
David,
did you say?
David.
What did you say about me? What did you say?
Now
I'll
she,
have to answer.
How often does she call you softy?
Never. Never. She did when we first started dating each other.
Because I could have sworn I've heard her call you softy.
Well, yeah, not for a long time.
Okay.
15
All
years.
All right. All
it
right.
did happen one time in our old house in the Crick,
okay.
which we sold.
Wait a second. I feel like we're going
we
down
upstairs.
Dangerous. I'm going down a dangerous
road
here.
It was late
here.
At night.
Whoa!
It was a sultry summer evening.
Do you need to take a 10-second timeout?
We had some romantic
gosh.
Music playing.
Oh, boy.
Each of us
it.
Had a bottle of wine.
Oh, jeez.
Well, if you
no, but
bought,
she looks at me and she knows it's a true
out,
story.
True.
Exactly. That's the reason why they call me Lightweight Lenny. She looks at me and she says, hey, Softy. And I was like, you know, my name's Dave, right? I mean, you know, it's come on. And this was like a year and a half in
wow.
to our relationship.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Come on. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, now.
A little Sade here for you.
Hey, Softy.
Yeah?
Hey,
Softy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Love Sade. Big fan of Sade.
This
was not playing, though.
What are you guys, what are you and Mr. Fain doing
Softy.
Today? What are you guys doing today?
Well, we'll talk some Mariners. What do you think our times would be if we tried to run 109 yards? That's 100 meters.
I don't know if I could get it.
Imagine just
I'm not sure I could
going
finish.
9 yards deep in the end zone, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah.
putting your front foot
yeah.
on the back marker, whatever.
Yeah.
And you run to the opposite goal line.
I don't know. 30,
how long would that take you?
30 seconds.
No, it wouldn't take you 30 seconds. It'd take you over 20, I think.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Take you over 20.
Yeah, you can walk it in
I'm
30
not,
seconds.
Yeah, I was never fast when I was playing sports. And I'm not
yeah.
going to be like, now, no.
Yeah.
I'll be calling reflex knees about the 50-yard mark.
Have to take a look at the baby inside.
Send an ambulance now.
I am sneaky fast. You guys don't know that about me.
Well,
I'm like Gimli from Lord of the Rings.
What did you run the 40
Very in? Dangerous over short distances.
What did you run the 40 in on the,
five,
the pavement?
5'2", 5'3", something, whatever. That was like 10 years ago.
The real question
270
is,
pounds.
Will Slickhawk be able to stay on his feet if we do it?
Who's that?
Slickhawk. Will he be able to stay on his feet if we do this? If Slickhawk is asked to run 109
yeah,
yards,
no. yeah.
can he stay on his feet?
How many groins would pop?
Oh.
What's the over-under for the 10 main guys on the air?
I'm just trying.
Four and a half, five and a half?
Groins?
Yeah.
Most of us don't even have them anymore.
Well, how many people would just... How many would get to, like, 60 yards and be like,
the hell
it.
With it?
Just
yeah.
go
oh,
walk.
Yeah, I think you'd walk the rest of the way.
Yeah, I'm good. It'd
be like
good.
Those races where a guy falls down and messes up his knee and two people have to carry him across the finish line. That'd be us.
Be inspirational.
Who would carry us when we're all down?
I don't know, man. I think it'd be funny as hell.
All right. What do you?
Who,
so you're
who would have
about
the
that?
Fastest 100-meter time on the staff?
It's Kid.
That's what I want to know at 4.94.51. Well, we're not talking just about that. We're going to go to Jacksonville and ask them why the hell they're signing Tim Tebow.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
We'll talk some Mariners, and also we're going to head to Norman, Oklahoma.
Excuse me?
Norman, Oklahoma. Right. We're going to make fun of the Thunder because they suck.
Yes, they do.
Just like the Timbers do.
Yeah.
And we'll get a scouting update on the new corner playing for the Huskies, a guy named Buki.
Thunder suck. Thunder suck.
F you, Thunder!
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying, so long, everyone!